You're with Phoenix FM, Alan Johnson with you with the Feel Good Saturday. Now, if you're listening this morning in black and white, there's no need to worry as we're talking now about those beautiful monochrome creatures from the likes of The Wind in the Willows and the Beatrix Potter stories. Badgers, of course. And I'm joined by the publicity manager for the Essex Badger Protection Group, Darren Parker. Good morning to you, Darren.
Good morning.
Thank you for popping in. I know it's a busy time for you. It's a special time, in fact, for the group, as you're celebrating 30 years protecting badgers. And are inviting people to a very special event tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a little while, Darren. Before we do that, tell us something about badgers, because they're something of a mystery in many ways. Not many people will have actually seen a badger close up, I guess. How many are there estimated to be in the UK, and specifically in Essex?
It's very difficult to say. If I'm honest, they're quite often numbers banded around, none of which I'll repeat right now because I always view them with healthy scepticism. Because they're nocturnal and they live underground, to get any real assessment on the populations, you have to study them over a great length of time. And we just don't have those sort of figures available. A lot of people say, well, the population's surely increasing because they see them in their gardens now and they never used to see them in their gardens. They see them dead on the roads in quite increasing numbers. But even those things don't necessarily point to a large population. They quite often appear dead in the roads, mostly around February, March time, which is when the male badgers, which are known as boars, are kicked out of the set by the females because the cubs have just been born and it makes more room. And they sadly blunder around looking for somewhere else to go and quite often find their way onto the road and are sadly hit by cars. So even that doesn't necessarily point to a huge population. So it's difficult to say, if I'm honest.
So a few misconceptions by the sound of it.
I think so. I think, you know, that's fueled a lot by the media and people's just lack of understanding about them, to be honest. It's understandable, you know, I understand that, but it's very difficult to get a definite figure on populations.
Now, you call yourselves the Badger Protection Group. That's not because they're an endangered species as such.
No, they've never been truly endangered. They were heading towards endangered status some years ago, which is when the Protection of Badgers Act came in. And that was really because they'd been persecuted to the point where they were heading towards endangered status. Thankfully, I think, whilst, as I say, we don't really know on the population sizes, all the evidence would suggest that the population has grown since those days and is probably now kind of back to a point prior to that act being brought in, although, you know, we can't be 100% sure on that. But yeah, that's you know, they've never been truly endangered, I guess.
A lot of people will perhaps see badgers as a bit of a nuisance, sort of digging up the garden and creating havoc.
An awful lot of people see them as a nuisance, which is one of the problems to us, I guess. Which again, I can completely understand. You know, there are a lot of very proud gardeners out there, both in Essex and beyond, who spend an awful lot of time tending their lawns and their flower beds, only to come down in the morning and find great big holes in their lawns, all their bulbs dug up. And yeah, that's absolutely a real pain to those sort of people. I completely get that.
Are there things people can do to mitigate that or to
There are actually lots of things you can try, and we do go out and, you know, we give advice to people, and we can go out and meet people in their own gardens and have a look at what the problem is if they've got real issues with badgers. In all honesty, probably the best way to try, or the first thing to try if you're getting them in your garden and they're causing a few problems, is just put some peanuts down. They love peanuts. If you just scatter a few peanuts on your lawn, 9 times out of 10 they'll hoover up the peanuts.
Really?
And then move on. And that's as far as it will go.
Doesn't that encourage them to come back?
It can do. You shouldn't really feed them. I mean, I'm the worst person to say this because I feed my badgers every night, but you probably shouldn't feed them every night because they do get a little bit reliant on that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're a proud gardener, the last thing you want is every night you put peanuts down, they don't touch your lawn, and then the night you do, you forget to put the peanuts down,
absolutely.
You come down and it's like the Somme out there.
What about the question of disease and in particular bovine TB? I know there have been a lot of attempts by various governments over the past few years to cull badgers, which have proved very controversial. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
It's a tragic distraction, in all honesty, the cull. We don't believe it will play the slightest role in defeating bovine TB, which is obviously a huge problem to farmers, and we totally understand that. But the previous Labour government did a huge culling exercise run by Professor Krebs, and that came to the conclusion that culling badgers can play no meaningful contribution in the control of bovine tuberculosis.
So badgers are known to carry bovine TB.
There's a lot that's not understood, mostly around the transmission between badgers and cattle,
right,
and cattle and badgers. So we don't really know. It's certainly badgers can carry TB. I think that's pretty much undoubted. But then so can pretty much every other mammal. And really, the disease begins in cows. It's the cows that transmit it to the wildlife. The wildlife is really just an overspill, and that's the problem. I mean, farmers and the government will argue that you have to tackle what they call the disease, the wildlife reservoir, before you can actually cure it in cattle. But our argument will be, well, it came from the cattle. You need to solve it in the cattle. It's a very, very complex issue, which, you know, we could spend hours and hours debating. The bottom line is, we don't believe it's the right thing to do. It's cruel, it's inhumane, and it won't actually solve the problem.
And you're part of a national group, presumably, which campaigns?
We're affiliated to the Badger Trust, who
right.
are actually very, very prominent in the campaign against the cull. We've been party to marches up and down the country to raise awareness of that. There's a big march in Taunton today, which Dominic Dyer, the CEO of the Badger Trust, will be speaking at, and Dominic's coming to our event tomorrow, which we're going to go on and talk about a bit later. We're part of that movement, if you like.
What about hunting? Are badgers hunted as a matter of course in this country?
They used to be. Prior to the Protection of Badgers Act, they used to have to put up with terrible things. I can't honestly say when they stopped being hunted. I mean, they used to be eaten, going back hundreds of years, yeah. Now, I don't know the exact date they stopped being hunted and everything moved over to primarily foxes and deer and things. But they certainly used to be hunted.
So on the one hand, they're seen as cute, cuddly, appearing in lots of folklore and traditional stories and things. And on the other hand, they're seen as a nuisance and carrying diseases. They get a bit of a mixed press.
They certainly do. They have to put up with an awful lot, especially these days. Prior to the Protection of Badgers Act coming in, badger baiting was a huge problem, and badger digging, where rather unpleasant people would dig up sets and drag the badgers out and force them to fight other badgers, or even worse, fight vicious dogs. And that still goes on to an extent, much less so now, thankfully.
Things have improved to a large extent.
Yeah.
Thanks in part to groups like yours, I'm sure, Darren.
Phoenix FM.
But right now, it's slightly smaller creatures we're talking about, with Darren Parker, Publicity Manager with the Essex Badger Protection Group, about the work that they do and about a very special event which is coming up tomorrow. Darren, I briefly mentioned that it's to celebrate 30 years.
That's right.
What's going to be happening?
Well, we're kicking off at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Essex Wildlife Trust Nature Reserve in the Visitor Centre at Hanningfield Reservoir. So kicking off at 9 o'clock. It's an all-day event, runs right through till 5. It's really a chance to come up and meet the group, with loads and loads of birthday cake. There's some fantastic birthday
That's
cakes
a
coming
reason
together,
if
believe
nothing else.
me. So come and share a piece of cake with us, have a chat, meet the group, find out a lot about what we do. You can discuss any badger problems you may have in your gardens, as we touched on earlier. yeah, that, you know, we can give advice while we're there, that's fine. And we've got some competitions. We've got a raffle with some very good prizes, and Name the Badger competition, win a cuddly badger. The Badger Trust are coming down, so they've got a stall with merchandise. Their CEO, Dominic Dyer, who I mentioned earlier, who speaks at an awful lot of the Stop the Cull rallies, he'll be coming down and giving a talk for us around about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Frank Last, who is currently our wildlife advisor and was our chairman for many years, he's giving a talk on the life of badgers, which will be about 3 o'clock.
Quite a packed programme. So, yeah. so educational but fun at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it'll appeal to the kids, to grown-ups, everybody.
Yeah, that's really the idea. We think some education for the younger age, which is very important, I think, with the cull and everything going on at the moment, and an awful lot of anti-badger rhetoric in the media and coming out of government. I think it's important to send out a positive message, really. And whilst we won't be dwelling on any of that tomorrow, this is more of a celebration event, really. But yeah, we can educate as well. There's children's colouring packs that we'll be handing out, and all sorts of fun stuff for the whole family.
Really. I was sort of joking earlier on about you know, black and white, so colouring.
Well,
I suppose the background.
You can colour the background in. Yeah.
Although it's dark because badgers are nocturnal, aren't they?
Yeah,
I'm picking holes here.
Badgers only see in black and white as well, funnily enough.
They only see in black and white.
They do, yeah.
Really?
They've got no colour vision, yeah.
I guess they don't. They don't really need to see in colour.
No. Well, they don't see very well at all. But no, they only see in black and white.
I guess there won't be a chance to actually see any badgers tomorrow.
Only on video. We have got some films that will be running during the day, which will have badgers on, obviously. But no, they're strictly nocturnal.
And do people keep badgers as pets?
No, I mean, because they're protected species, I mean, I don't know how good they would be as pets anyway, to be perfectly honest. Probably not that great. but no, you can't, you know, it's very difficult to even touch a badger these days because of their protected status.
And what about the group, Essex Badger Protection Group? What do you actually get up to? Do you have regular meetings?
We do. I mean, we started, 30 years ago, originally it was called the Essex Badger Patrol, and it was set up really in response to some terrible events that were going on persecution wise around the Thurrock area primarily, which involved badger baiting and badger digging. And when the Protection of Badgers Act came in, the focus of the group really turned into more protecting badgers, which is where the name came from. So these days, we've got a team that looks after road traffic accidents. We can go out and see any badgers that have been injured by traffic or sick. And in conjunction with wildlife hospitals, we can hopefully care for those and nurse them back to health. We offer advice is probably the primary thing that we do at the moment. Anybody that's got any problems with badgers or just wants to know a little bit more about badgers, they can get in touch. We do home visits to frustrated gardeners and advise them on the best ways to try and dissuade badgers from digging up their gardens. And education is a huge thing. And set surveying is a huge project for us at the moment. So we're trying to keep tabs on as many sets as we can within Southeast Essex, both to keep them protected from any possible persecution, but really just to aid our own understanding of problems in the area. You know, badger issues, I guess, not so much problems. But if gardeners have suddenly got them coming into their gardens, for example, say, well, I've never had badgers before, it's quite useful for us to be able to look up records of sets and things and see, well, you know, there was a set there and suddenly a housing development's gone up on top of it, and we can get a good idea of where the badgers are coming from, and it helps our understanding and it helps the advice that we can give people.
And you're feeding into the national picture as well there, I guess.
We are, yeah, absolutely.
So quite an active group there.
Yeah.
I guess if anybody's sort of interested in either finding out more about badgers or they're interested in badgers already, then you'd welcome them to come and have a chat.
Absolutely. No, we're always on the lookout for new members, especially members that are looking to get more involved. Say the set surveying project, there are hundreds and hundreds of sets that we need people to keep an eye on and go out and record. So anyone that wants to get involved in that sort of thing, then fantastic. But equally, you know, people can just join if they just want to be passive members and just find out more about badgers.
Excellent. Darren, time is getting the better of us. Very best of luck with the celebration tomorrow.
Much.
Do just remind us where it is and when it's it's taking place.
It kicks off at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Essex Wildlife Trust Nature Reserve in Hanningfield Reservoir.
Beautiful setting.
It's absolutely brilliant. The weather's going to be nice. We're indoors, so it doesn't matter if it does rain, but if it stays sunny, then you can come and meet us, have a piece of cake, and then go for a wander in the nature reserve.
And you've got things going on all day with talks and displays
absolutely
and things, so people can just pop in as and when.
Yeah.
Excellent. Darren, thank you so much for joining us. Very best of luck tomorrow
and
with all your activities.
Thank you.